Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned into Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us, yes, you, you, and you, let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus together. As we lift up his wonderful name, I know without a shadow of a doubt that God is going to tremendously, yes, tremendously bless us on today. I am so excited that we are together, have another wonderful lesson for you that I know without a shadow of a doubt that is going to tremendously bless your soul on today. So grab your Bible, come right on in, and make yourself right at home. Our lesson on today is going to be Jesus, love Jesus in the midst of persecution and amid persecution. And our scripture reading is going to be found over in Matthew 24, verses 6 through 14. And then we're going to look at Luke chapter 21, verses 17 through 19. And it reads on this line, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdoms against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence, great earth and earthquakes in divers places. All these things are the beginning of sorrow. And then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And ye shall, then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all of the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Luke 21, verses 17 through 19. Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not an hair of your head shall perish. In your patience possess ye your soul. Matthew 24:4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Now let's take a look. You know, especially at the end times, the righteous shall suffer persecution. However, a steadfast love for Jesus Christ will keep God's child through every attack. Now, let's take a look at this lesson today because this is so relevant for the people of God as never before. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 states, ye and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. No one likes to be persecuted, and most people do not care to be around individuals who feel that they are being persecuted. Many people are quick to label the latter as people who have a persecution complex. Whether we consider a person's complaint of persecution to be legitimate in every situation or not, persecution is real. Persecution is cruel and unfair treatment or harassment over a long period of time. Although people may be persecuted for various reasons, in this lesson we're going to look at primarily persecution, real persecution of the believers because of their stand for the gospel. Persecution of believers is not really new, as we know that. It has also existed from the earlier days of mankind to even the present day people who uphold righteousness and have been persecuted for their belief. We may not be personally aware of the persecution that resembled the one recorded in the books of martyrs, But various levels of persecution do occur in many parts of the world. As long as there is right and wrong, there will be persecution against those who stand for that which is right. It is the moral response of those who choose to align themselves with error to persecute those who align themselves with righteousness. Now, regardless of the persecution they may suffer, believers can choose to love Jesus in the midst of it, of that persecution. Persecution challenges the very constitution of an individual, but nothing can turn aside a person's true devotion for Jesus, for it is a special kind of committed love, agape love. Religiosity may generate a message of shallow affection, but it does not produce the special kind of committed love, which is deep and genuine. Committed love does not remove offenses, but it makes them more tolerable. Committed love also does not ignore sin, gloss over iniquity, or make offenses against less painful However, this measure of love enables us to work in a sinful environment at a factory or office without allowing offenses to damage the relationship with Jesus Christ. It empowers us to live peaceably with a mate who is not serving the Lord. We do not live as monks in monasteries, completely isolated from the world's unrighteousness. However, we can live righteously in an unrighteous world. The stresses and the pressures of life often cause passions such as anger. And as well as hatred to flare. Believers also have to deal with these pressures, but the Holy Spirit helps believers to handle them. God knows we are human, but he expects us to allow the Holy Spirit to control our passion. Jesus foretold of the persecution. He said we would be betrayed and hated, Luke 21, verses 16 and 17. He also said that we would be hated for his name, Matthew 24 and 9. Persecution also often solidifies a true believer's faith. It scatters believers to spread the gospel and prepare child of God to experience revival and actually foster revival. Persecution of the church has usually predicted revival, precipitated revival. The phenomenon clearly appears in Scripture. The antidote for persecution is loving Christ. There is something about genuine love, especially for Jesus, that changes the paradigm. When we love, we can tolerate the intolerable. When we can love the unlovable. When we can forgive the unforgivable. Thank God for his love and our love for him. Now let's look at the end time attitude, life stresses, and pressure. Now this is very key for us as the children of God because we are seeing and the stresses and the different things that is coming upon the children of God and all these different stresses and also pressures. And let's see how God is wanting us to handle ourselves in the midst of the things that you're seeing and experiencing, which is true. Now, anger and hate are integral passion of human makeup. The response often occurs when stresses and the pressures of life are made to bear upon an individual. For instance, in family relationship situations, sometimes contribute to such responses, financial difficulty, job losses, as well as divorce or disease or death, to mention just only a few of those. Now, unfortunately, some people direct a lot of anger and hatred these days towards the believers. Angry people often look for others upon whom that they can vent their passion. Since the child of God are different in their dress and their speech, as well as their lifestyle, angry people may make them the target of their expression of their anger. They cannot understand them. They often feel condemned because of a believer's positive life an example. So believers become the target of people's anger and bitterness. Now, the believers must not let these stressful times pull them into the cauldron of venting feelings. We need cool-headed and compassionate heart when we're around those who are losing their composure and having a meltdown and a manifestation, even of anger. And that comes with being prayed up, child of God, and walking circumspectly. That is so critical for the children of God, for us to walk circumspectly. Now, the scripture said over in Ephesians 4 and 26, it said, be angry and sin not. When we read Ephesians 4:26, we should recognize that Paul is not commanding us to be angry. However, Paul knew that anger is a component of human responses, and knowing that there will be flashes of anger, God inspired Paul to caution the believers to keep this dangerous emotion in check. This is in this verse is on maintaining control to the extent of not committing sin when angry. It is extremely difficult, if not impossible, for anyone to avoid becoming angry occasionally, even the child of God. Anger often comes without warning. Someone says or does something that triggers a sudden emotional response. The key is for the child of God to maintain self-control so that they may inhibit the proper response when flares of anger arise. Simply stated, when the child of God is being experienced anger, they should avoid allowing their passion to cause them to commit sin. They should not do or say anything that fails to reflect the Christian and godly virtues as well as graces. Now, in Genesis, Henry Nouwen wrote, anger often reveals how you feel and think about yourself and how important you have made your own ideas and insights. When God becomes, again, the center, and when you can pull yourself with all your wholeness in front of him, you might be able to take some distance and allow your anger to ebb away and pray again. Ephesians 4 and 31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and speaking be put away from you with all malice. In Ephesians 4 and 31, the word wrath is translated from the Greek word thumos, which means hot anger, passion. The dictionary defines wrath as being extreme anger. If we do not bridle our anger, it has a tendency to manifest itself in more intensity, which is wrath. When people get mad enough to kill another human, it is because they become consumed with wrath. Of all people, the child of God should govern their anger so that they do not become guilty of that which the wrath could cause them to do. And that comes through prayer and fasting and being in control of your emotion. Let's look at another aspect, and that is hatred. Although the word hatred occurs in the King James Version of the Bible 18 times, it occurred once, only once in the New Testament, Romans 8 and 7 and things, as translated as enmity. Its occurrence in Galatians 5 and 20 appeared in the list of 17 works of the flesh. Term hate also appear numerous times in the Bible. Let's look further. Hatred directed towards believer is the result of the spirit of the age in which we live in. Since God is love, 1 John 4 and 8, the spirit of the Antichrist opposes God's people through hatred. Consequently, it is not unusual for the church to experience persecution in these last days. This persecution occurs in many forms. Sometimes it may be resentment manifested through a frown or a grin. Other times it may take a more abusive form, such as that which is manifested through rebukes and challenges and insults. At times through the history of the church and in some nations today, believers have suffered or are suffering physical persecution in the most extreme form through torture and even death. Although hatred is the major motivation of the persecution against the child of God, we must not let this spirit affect us. Conversely, the Word of God instructed us to do good to those who hate us. The Bible challenges believers to be like the Lord Jesus in this regard. For that, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemy, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Love is the first of the nine virtues listed as the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. Love counteracts hatred, which Paul listed as the seventh work of the flesh, recorded in Galatians 5, verses 19 and 21. As believers, we must not allow the flesh to dictate our responses towards others. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, Romans 8, verse 14. Now let's look at the necessity of persecution. Yea, in all that we would live godly in Jesus Christ, we'll suffer persecution. That's 2 Timothy verses 3 and 12. If you're living godly in Christ Jesus, you know, there will be times where persecution will come. Believers should not think it's strange when they suffer persecution. They encounter persecution for several reasons. First, Jesus said we would suffer persecution, Matthew 24 and 9, Luke 21 verses 12, also 16 and 17. Paul said the same thing, 2 Timothy 3 and 12. Believers are also persecuted because persecution manifests the old age conflict between good and evil. However, persecution has a unique way of not only spreading the word of God, but also developing believers' spirituality. Spiritually, look at Matthew chapter number 10, verse 23 through verse 24. It said, but when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the city of Israel till the Son of Man has come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as the master and the servant as the Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Let's look further. It reads, as we look further, it says here, hated of all nations, ye shall be hated of all nations, Matthew 24, 9. The term nation in Matthew 24 is translated from the Greek term meaning nationalities, nation, ethnicities, people. Does this verse mean that everyone in every nation will hate Christian? No. The New Century Version rendered this phrase, then people will hate you because you believe in me. In other words, many people in many nations will hate believers because of their belief in Jesus Christ. Let's look further. Hatred for Jesus' name. Ye shall be hated, all men, for Jesus' name's sake. Hatred of people who associate themselves with the name of Jesus Christ is a normal response from those who are motivated by the spirit of the Antichrist. Satan hates Jesus Christ. Likewise, sinners are individuals who are yielding themselves to Satan, who influences them to hate Christians. This hatred often manifests itself as a variety of various forms of persecution. Another aspect of to consider about Luke 21 and 17 is that individuals who strongly believe that there are three separate and distinct persons in the Godhead often have little tolerance for those who embrace the oneness concept of the Godhead and who celebrate the saving name of Jesus Christ, because oneness believers stress the necessity of the name of Jesus in the water baptism, and those who do not embrace this truth often are criticized of those who do. The criticism sometimes may take the form of persecution. Let's look further at the effects of persecution. Persecution is not pleasant. However, as unpleasant as it is, persecution accomplished some good things. Let's look at it. Now, persecution solidifies. Only individuals who are sure of their faith in Jesus Christ will continue faithfully when persecution comes. As a result, persecution serves either to solidify a believer's faith or to cause him to recant his faith. In this sense, persecution serves to solidify and strengthen a believer's faith. When the winds of persecution buffet a believer, like an oak tree with the deep root that strongly grips the soil, the believers hold more tightly to the principle of righteousness. The best way to get more sugar or flour into a canister is to shake it. This removes the space between the granules and causes the substance to fit more tightly into the container. Perhaps we all have air bubbles and spaces in our belief system that persecution helps to remove, making us more solid and genuine. In this way, persecution solidifies us. Nothing will take the air out of pride like persecution. God accused Ephraim of being a cake, not turned. Hosea 7 and 8. In the Bible time, cakes were baked on an open fire. Because of the heat being only on one side, the cake would bake only halfway through. This necessitated the cake being turned. As a cake can turn would be baked, would be a cake that would dough on one side and cake on the other. God wants us to be consistent the same way all the way through. This is actually the idea of a word of integrity. Now, the other thing that persecution does, it calls us scattered. Now, Acts chapter 8, verses 1 and 4 says, "And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostle. Therefore, there was scattered abroad and went everywhere for teaching and preaching the word of God." Now, when wild animals brush up against seed-bearing stalks and carry the ensnared seed to other fields where they fall off and germinate and multiply, they are spreading the plant to new places. The only other factor that contributes as well to scattering seeds is the wind that blows seeds to new places of germination. Persecution unwittingly become one of the most successful components of spreading the gospel. Much like the passing animals and the wandering wind, persecution causes the seed of the gospel to be sown in other fields of the world. Now, let's look at persecution fosters also a revival. Obviously, the goal of persecution often is to curtail or to limit the gospel, but it usually has an opposite effect. Trying to put out the fire of revival scatters the growing fire. Wherever they land, they start a new fire. Thank the Lord for persecution failed as a fire extinguisher, but serves more like a bellow to increase the intensity and dimensions of the revival fire. Following the martyr of Stephen, there was a great persecution against the church at Jerusalem. Believers were scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, Acts 8 and 1. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word, Acts 4, 8 and 4. When Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them, the revival broke out with healing and the people being blessed. People were also baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, when the apostle laid hands on them, Acts chapter 8, verses 5 through 17. Historically, persecution has fostered revivals. Cuba was settled by people fleeing religion persecution in Europe. Many of the new churches in the colonies were members of groups from Europe who had been severely persecuted. Therefore, they fled to a colony, and this caused a religion fervor that spread the gospel not only to a new colony, but to remote areas as these new immigrants began migrating west. The persecution prepares as well. When people live in a sleepy age in which comfortable lifestyle rock individuals to sleep, it requires a strong jolt of awakening them. Persecution is a kind of jolt that will awaken and stir and prepare people for the coming of the Lord. Prepares means to make something ready. Although we should all live anticipating the return of the Lord, that all believers do, it is so easy to allow the cares of the world to preoccupy us with so many things that we neglect the necessary matters. Persecution can act as a wake-up call and sometimes as a very harsh one. Persecution awakens drowsy Christians to the realization of their weak spiritual condition. In such a condition, carnal people are not ready for the rapture. Although this awakening often is rude and uncomfortable, it can help careless children of God see their need to prepare for eternity. Oh, thank God for keeping us ready, and he loves us just that much. Now let's look at the antidote, his love for Jesus Christ. The strongest and the most effective antidote for any problem is to love Jesus Christ. This antidote of love works because we love the Lord with all of our heart, and we belong to him, and he cares for us, and he cares for his own. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 said, "There have no temptation taken you such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." In 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, there are at least 4 points to consider persecution. First, consider the temptation itself. Temptation is translated from a Greek word meaning, among other things, trials. A temptation is a trial. Therefore, individuals often consider trials that come their way as persecution. Temptation is a common experience to all mankind. So believers should not think it's strange when they are faced with temptation, which could possibly come in the form of persecution. Second, 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 provides a note of encouragement. He would not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. Many individuals have observed that God will not put more on you than you can bear. This is true. He knows our limitation, and it certainly applies also to situations of persecution. Third, Paul assured the Corinthians that with the temptation, God also provides a way to escape. Some individuals read the word escape in the verse and wrongly think it means that they will not have to go through temptation. However, a person should carefully read the rest of the verse. The escape is not a route of avoidance, but one of endurance. Number four, Paul wrote that you may be able to bear it. The escape includes the believer's God's power, ability to bear temptation. God gives us ability we would not have otherwise. The gift of perseverance he gives us in the midst of a trial create for the believer the ability to go through the trial victoriously. Now let's look at, and as we get ready to close this wonderful lesson, often persecution is perceived to be a negative experience. However, Jesus said that that we would be hated of all nations for his name's sake, Luke 21:17. So clearly, persecution is something every believer should prepare to face. Paul stated in 2 Timothy 3 and 12, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Do not endure persecution. It has its positive effect. Persecution often solidifies a true believer's faith and scatters the believers to spread the gospel, prepare Christians to experience the revival, and actually foster revival. Example from scriptures and history chronicles these results. In the midst of hatred and persecution, we have an antidote, and that's loving Jesus Christ. Love which is as strong as death, Songs of Solomon 8 and 6, provides special divine empowerment that enable us to overcome every circumstances, every trial, and every tribulation. Now, perhaps our greatest challenge as a child of God is to love the Lord regardless of who is all around us or regardless of what they may have done or is doing to us. Simply, if we can love God in spite of circumstances, in spite of people, in spite of condition, we can be victorious through all things, including persecution. Now, the Song of Solomon over in 8 and 7 said, many waters cannot quench love, neither can the flood drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be condemned. Although severe persecution has not knocked doors to every believer, it has visited countless believers over the centuries, and further, it has arrived in various degrees of severity. While some have been tortured unmercifully or killed, others have suffered only verbal abuse. Hebrew give us a list of the many various degrees of persecution. Hebrew 11, verse 35 to 37. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might attain a better resurrection. Others has the trial of cruel mocking and scorning, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted and were slain with the sword. They were wandered about in sheepskins and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Regardless of the degree of persecution or suffering, we can love Jesus and remain faithful to him. When we can suffer persecution, stay safe, endure to the end, all of this is possible because of his divine empowerment that enable us to love Jesus in the midst of persecution. I want to pray. This is the end of this lesson, but I want to pray with you. Father, we ask, dear God, that, Lord, you undergird your people and let your people be sober-minded. And, Lord, let us be prepared even as we leave our homes and our places of abode. Father, when we're facing persecution because of your name, persecution because of the righteousness that you have called us and your righteousness that is upon us and your genuine love that flows within our hearts. Father, let us continue in the midst of the persecution. Give your name the glory and love you even more, and let the revival fire, Lord, continue to flow and fan the flames of the fire down in our heart for our love towards you. In spite of, Lord, every test, every trial, every tribulation, and every persecution that will come against your people, Father, help us to stand victoriously in the mighty name of Jesus and by the power that's in your holy name. And, Father, we thank you because you alone are worthy of the praise, glory, and honor. Father, Lord, this is our prayer, Lord, that you bless the hearers and the doers of your word. Give them a supernatural strength, supernatural love, that it will be anointed, Lord, that will break every yoke, and, Lord, that they will endure everything that will be brought upon them. And, Father, we thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. I am so glad that you joined me in this lesson and to hear the word of the Lord on today when it talks about loving Jesus in the midst of persecution. We as the people of God, amen, is already overcome, even our faith, amen. And all we have to do is stand steadfast and faithful in our walk with the Lord our God, and he himself will do it on our behalf. So, child of God, Be encouraged as never before. Let the blessings of the Lord continue to make you rich and add no sorrow. Until we meet again, may God bless you is my prayer. And as I always say in my closing, if you don't have it, God got it. And you are just one question away from your miracle. All you have to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. May the blessings of the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer. Bye-bye.